Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Tuesday, April the 19th. As the month keeps kicking on and the racing season gets hot and heavy, we'll be covering the action at Bristol this weekend. I mean, actually recapping the action at Bristol this weekend and going from short track to short track, from half mile high bank to the three quarter mile tri-oval Richmond International Raceway. And we're going to have on Amy Wester, the director of communications, who always seems to, who I always like to have on to promote her track, because it's one of the most fun tracks to watch in this day and age of cookie cutters and things like that. You always got those mile and a half, but the short tracks and the different styles that they have. You have Martinsville, which is a tight paperclip. You have Bristol, which is a high bank oval. You got Richmond, which is a leveled out three-quarter mile tri-oval. And you have, then you go to your milers, but which are all in different shapes and sizes, from Richmond to Dover to Phoenix, New Hampshire. And then you have your big ones, your two-and-a-half milers of Indy, Pocono, Daytona, and one a little bigger in Talladega, which is less like a stretched Daytona, where you get all those high speeds. But one of the tracks that seem to get the most of the better racing is going to be kicking off this weekend. Normally a Saturday night race. This year it's changed up a bit. We're going back to daytime Sunday afternoon. So we'll talk more about that and the fun stuff they have happening and that in a few minutes. Of course, the NHRA will be back in action this coming weekend down in Charlotte for the Four Wide Nationals. So, anyway, before we get into all that, let's welcome to the show my very special guest and good friend and director of communications from Richmond International Raceway, Miss Amy Wester. Amy, welcome back to Garage Talk Live.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad to be on and excited that we're race week again.
Yeah, it comes around so quick. This time last year, we were getting ready to go under the lights, and this time, lo and behold, you have to come out in the daytime.
I know. We're kind of throwing everybody for a loop. It's exciting, though. I mean, I think we've gotten some people pretty confused with doing a day race, but, you know, that's what we're all about. We want to shake it up a little bit. And the cool part is now race fans get the best of both worlds at Richmond. You get day in April and night in September. And, you know, you and I have talked before about the fact that I'm a mom, and I've got two kids that love racing and want to be at the race. And coming to a night race is a little bit difficult just because it's a long day. So, you know, day racing for kids is a lot better experience, I think.
That's for sure. And, you know, like you said, they're young. They're getting big, because I've seen the pictures of them from when you had them to what you're displaying now. And they're growing like weeds anyway. So now that they can understand more of the impact of what you do on a daily basis and the fun that you bring to Richmond International Raceway with the weekend events, getting them there during the daytime to experience the race to the fullest, they're probably loving the crap out of it.
Oh, they are. They're so excited. They cannot wait for everybody to get here. They keep asking me, are the race cars here yet? Are the race cars here, Mom? Are they at work with you? Can we not go to school? Can we go to work with you? So it's kind of fun. I enjoy it. And you know, we actually took a driver into the classroom last week, and we had Dakota Armstrong, and he read a book to a bunch of kids, kindergarten, first graders, and second graders. And, you know, I've seen parents since from the school, and they just, all the parents are so excited. You know, my kid cannot wait to go to the race. That was the coolest thing, to bring a driver to the school, and thanks so much. So, you know, it's amazing. I mean, and he's an Xfinity Series guy. He's a young guy, but, you know, he's trying to kind of build his brand and fan base, and what better way to do that than to reach out to the kids who are our newest fans?
That's true. And the thing that NASCAR had gotten away from, in my opinion, over the course of, I guess, since you were a young team driver, PR person for somebody by the name of Jimmy Johnson way back in the day to being the corporate executive you are now, is the, what happened to NASCAR and the young fans? And the price of tickets when they had that boom went through the roof. People couldn't bring their kids anymore. And now they're getting back to that. And the best way to do that is to basically do what you guys did, is bring your driver to school and let them meet somebody that they'll probably want to follow going through their grade school and high school years. And then the driver can grow a fan base.
Absolutely. I think it's really, that's what, you know, where we started with this sport. The drivers were accessible. They were just kind of that normal everyday person, just like you and me and our friends. And, you know, so to be able to show our kids those same experiences and help them engage with a driver that is closer to their age, obviously not, he's not a kindergarten, first or second grader, but even hearing him sit and talk to the kids, they asked him how old he was when he started racing cars, and he was 5 years old. That's a kindergartner. And those kids sat and looked at each other like, I don't know how to drive a car. Do you know how to drive a car? What are you talking about? Like, you drove a car when you were my age right now? And so you can see the wheels kind of moving in their heads going, wow, okay, this is cool. Like, mom and dad tell me I can be whatever I want, but this could be a really cool thing to be as a race car driver. You know, we want to give kids dreams, and you know, I think race car drivers are great people to be a hero to a kid, a sports figure. If you're going to have a sports figure as a hero, we've got a lot of really great race car drivers that I think, you know, are awesome for the kids and good role models for the kids.
Well, that's definitely for sure. Then you get your ones that when you become an adult, you like better because they're not so role model-y.
Well, fair enough. I agree with that as well. They are known as mommy's friends at my house.
Okay. But they always put on a good show in front of kids anyway. If, you know, they want to come visit the kids. And but that's a good thing to do, get them perked and get their interest as interest. Ooh. My tongue's getting a little tired. Their interests tweaked to where, like I said, they can grow up to be anybody they want. Why not a race car driver? Then the kids are going to go home to their parents and say, Mommy, Mommy, the race car driver was driving at 5. Can I drive a race car? And then it's like,
absolutely.
Uh-oh.
Hey, if we can create new fans, create some new drivers to come up in the ranks, that'd be kind of awesome.
I know, and it's great to see, like, some of the younger people coming up through the ranks, and you think they have a shot at making it, and sometimes some do and some don't. And, like, the young ladies, it's always – it seems harder for them and because, I don't know, it just seems like they don't get, like, the good equipment or they'll take any ride that they can find, even if it's a part-time thing, but – that even gets the girls going is when they see the girl drivers like Danica or, you know, back in yesterday it was Shauna Robinson and a few others that have basically carried the torch for ladies over the years. Do you have any lady drivers that you idolized following the sport from back in the day?
You know, for me, I didn't. And I am not a good representation of following the girls because, like you said, they've struggled, and I kind of live in a world of they really make us look bad if you look back on the list of drivers. But, you know, I grew up as a kid. Jeff Gordon at that time was just starting out. My dad worked at DuPont. So there was this connection of we have this really young guy that we're sponsoring and we need some fans. So, hey, DuPont employees, how about you support our new driver? And that's really what kind of introduced me to the sport. And, you know, so I watched him grow in the sport and I grew in the sport. And that's really kind of what pulled me in. So I have seen a lot for sure.
I have no one to blame but my wife. We were dating at the time and I was a hockey fan. And I love the rough and tumble sport of ice hockey and the Flyers back in the Broad Street Bully days. And she says, ooh, NASCAR, they beat and bang. And so you get into watching this. So I got her into watching hockey. She got me into watching stock car racing. And lo and behold, now I like both sports, but I think I will watch more racing than I do hockey these days. But it just seems to be. And my idol was probably the most rough and tumble driver out there at the time, Mr. Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Absolutely. Good guy to like.
And, you know, it was always the Elliott fans versus the Earnhardt fans. And, you know, those guys were probably friends off the track anyway, but it always seemed the fans made it worse than what it was. And now you have young Chase, who came up driving for Dale Jr. His father drove a Ford, and now the son drives a Chevy, and now he's driving. Talk about Jeff Gordon coming full circle. It's strange not seeing him in the 24 and up in the booth and seeing young Chase Elliott carry the load of that 24 and actually doing quite well.
He is. He is. He's an amazing kid. You know, I really like him. I think he's a great one for our young generation to kind of hook onto. And if you're looking for a young driver to follow, I think he's a perfect kid to follow. A great role model. I mean, he's just a sincerely good person. And that's you had somebody tell me one time when I introduced him that. That really speaks to how he was raised. And, you know, his dad is Bill Elliott. His dad is a race car driver. And this kid, he respects the sport and he respects the fans. And he learned that from his dad, which is a really cool thing to be able to see and say as well.
So now that's good to see. And that's what we need to grow the sport or basically continue the sport, because without the young talented drivers like that carrying the mantle into the future, things don't go well. Now, speaking of which, coming to one of my favorite tracks, the Action Track Richmond International Raceway, you'll be hosting all these great drivers this coming weekend.
We are, and we are so busy around here. It is crazy with everybody setting up on the midway. I know it's only Tuesday, but you know, you got to have everything set up early because fans are going to start pulling in here soon. We've got all of our campers will start pulling in on Thursday. And, you know, we're on track Friday on. And even though it's a day race this time around, Saturday and Sunday, we're still on track on Friday with practice. We have cup qualifying on Friday. Then Saturday, we are the second installment of the Dash for Cash. It's four different races, Dash for Cash races. Bristol was this past weekend. We are this weekend for the Xfinity Series on Saturday, and then Sunday is our big Cup Series Toyota Owners 400 race. And right now, I tell you, the forecast is looking great. We are due a good weekend of weather, and you know, so maybe we've done something right for the weather gods. You know, they're looking over us right now and going to take care of things, so we are appreciating that.
Well, that's always a good thing. Does it feel good having an extra day to prepare, or is it kind of you wish you had that extra day of rest at the end of the weekend?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's funny that you asked that. Like, we've always taken the approach of get yourself ready so that Monday morning of race week, if we were to say the race is happening today, you're ready to go. And that's really the approach we've all taken is by Monday, now we're just putting out fires. So we're ready and excited about it. You know, we've had unfortunately, a couple of weekends in the past where we have had to run on Sunday. So we've gotten actually a little used to not having that extra day of rest. So, you know, we'll all be back here bright and early Monday morning and cleaning up. You know, I will actually, my team will be focusing Monday morning on our food rescue and what we do is any food that isn't used, that hasn't been touched by the consumer, we donate to local soup kitchens and food banks. And then anything else that has been touched, if it can be composted, we we actually save that for composting. We don't throw that in the trash. And you know, we've seen some really good success. We launched that program last year, and you know, it's been really awesome to see how much we are able to donate. Because, you know, a lot of people say we have a lot of waste, but the reality of it is we have a lot of people here, and you have to be prepared. You don't want to run out of food when your fans are standing at a concession stand wanting to buy a hot dog or, you know, something like that. We can't run out of food. So we don't want it to go to waste, so we take it and put it back into the community at the local soup kitchens and food bank. We're proud of what we're able to do with that.
Well, that's pretty good. It's kind of like a paying it forward kind of thing. This way, you know, you can't use it, haven't used it. And like I said, why send it to go to waste if it hasn't been touched? And they get to benefit from it in the community. Richmond does a raceway, International Raceway does a lot for the community, because I've seen some of the things that you have gone on throughout the week, and it's always a good thing to get the community involved, and this way they can take pride in something other, you know, and what the community can take pride in is they know they have a great friend in the people at Richmond International Raceway.
And you know, you're right. That's the thing about what we do is, yes, we are a racetrack, and yes, we have two race weekends a year, but we have activity on property all year round. We have meeting rooms. We have conference facilities. So we're constantly having stuff here on property, but we're also a neighbor. We don't just come in and say, hey, we're going to have a race, and we disappear. We see ourselves as part of the community, and you're exactly right. We do a lot in the community. We have the roads around the track, we've kind of that adopt a highway program. So we're always doing the roadside cleanup. This past fall, we went into the neighborhood by the track, and we actually helped a single mom. She had some needs of her at the house. So we went in, and our group actually, we did yard work for her. We pruned all of her trees. We put down mulch. We painted her house, you know, like scraped and painted her house for her. And we do that fairly often and really enjoy the opportunities to give back to the community. It's a great bonding opportunity for our staff. We get to know each other a little bit better, and you get to see, like, you know, which guys like to paint, which guys like to work in the yard, those kinds of things. And it just, and you become part of the community instead of just coming here and working every day.
Well, that sounded like a pretty good deal for that young lady. And especially single moms, usually they're younger and they have a tough time having to deal with all that as far as raising kids and going to work and all that. So basically their time is, a single mom's time is more spread thin than anybody else's because of all they have to do. And I applaud what single moms go through. And, you know, it would be so easy to give up, and they would just keep trudging ahead. And it's just one of those things that anything that, you know, that can be done to help them out,
absolutely. Totally agree.
I saw you taking pictures in Lincoln Financial Field watching the Eagles-Redskins game. Are you an Eagles fan, a Redskins fan, or you just wanted to go see a football game?
My boyfriend is a diehard Eagles fan, so we did go up. It was the day after Christmas. That was his Christmas present. He knew nothing. I surprised him with it. So, you know, I would say I am a converted Eagles fan. You know, I grew up in a sports family, but I never had specifically a team that I followed. I kind of connected with certain players. I was a Joe Montana fan from the time I could say his name. So, you know, for me, it was less about who he played for, more about him. And same way with baseball, Randy Johnson is my all-time favorite player in the world. My brother is a pitcher, so there's that. My fascination with Randy Johnson is his talent in being a pitcher. And it really cool. It was the first NFL game that I'd ever been to. So really cool experience, an amazing, amazing facility. Absolutely amazing facility.
Experience the Philly fans at their finest.
Well, and you know, it's funny. It's just like coming to the race. You know, you hear all these horror stories, the rumors. Oh my gosh, the fans are horrible. Oh, you know, don't look at them the wrong way because they'll fight you. And you know, you hear that about race fans. Like, oh my gosh, if you have on the wrong driver apparel, then they're going to come after you. It was a night game, and we got there, and we had no issues whatsoever. It was a great experience. You know, working in a facility like here at Richmond, I really pay attention to that kind of thing, like how the facility operates. So I'm trying to enjoy the game, but at the same time, I'm watching security. Like, what are they doing? Are they escorting people out? I never saw anyone being escorted out of that facility because they were being disruptive or, you know, which is what everybody had warned me about. Like, just be careful. You're going to be terrified. Like, it was nothing going on. It was, I don't know, you know, you get that bad reputation. One time something happens and now everybody says, oh my gosh, it's a horrible place. And so I sat there and went, you know, this happens at the racetrack too. You got one bad experience and everybody thinks it's going to happen every single time you come to the track. But the reality of it is it's really not.
Well, the thing of it is, too, is it might have calmed down a bit. They actually have a judge, then they have a court. So if anybody gets busted at the game, they get hauled right into the base of the stadium and appear before a judge.
That's great. You know, we actually have a magistrate's office on property here as well.
Wow.
I see. Boy. One of those little known facts.
And the thing of it is, too, is the Redskins are close to Richmond. Eagles, probably a short drive up the road. So
yeah. It was an easy drive, too, I will tell you. It was not bad.
You got lucky.
Yes, exactly. But, hey, it's okay, you know? I mean, we want fans to know that it's not a bad drive to get down to Richmond or get back up. It's come down and visit us.
Oh, it is. It's an easy drive to get down there. But I'm just saying that the scope of the fan traffic going to the Lincoln Financial Field isn't as big as the amount of fans that would go to a Sprint Cup event weekend at one of the better tracks in the land as far as Richmond is. And you get more people getting crammed up going down there for Sunday's race. You know, just the fact that it holds more people and that.
Right.
But the experience as far as, and I think the road access, the access to racetracks sometimes are a lot better than major league sports venues like. Because in Philly, they got the complex right there. It's right off the highway, but still it's in town. And you guys are down by, you know, not too far from the airport, which makes it a little easier than if you were like in the heart of Richmond. So.
Right. Absolutely.
But, of course, tickets are still available, and you have all these good packages and camping for maybe not this race, but if you just want to go for the day, you can get them at the Richmond International Raceway website, which is RIR.com, and click on tickets. And I'm looking right at the page now, and choose your own seats.
Yes, absolutely. We still have tickets available, and like I said, the forecast looks favorable. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. We would encourage everyone to bring their sunscreen, but that's a good problem to have compared to what we've had in the past. You don't need to bring your rain boots or your ponchos. Bring your sunscreen and enjoy the day with us. But absolutely, tickets available. All the information, like you said, is on the website, RIR.com, and we're excited. We are ready for our fans to show up. So if you don't have tickets, come on over and hang out with us. There's no reason not to.
Of course, it's just a Xfinity Series and Sprint Cup Series weekend for this race. And of course, everybody knows in September, it gets a little hectic because that's the last race before the chase.
It is, yes, sir. Yeah, and it does. It gets crazy. But that's the cool part about what we do is you get to come out in April for a day race, and then you get to come out in September for a night race. Great experience for both.
Now, who do you foresee coming in this weekend? Because it's early in the season, so if you win, you're in. The drivers don't get as panicky as they do in September. So
right. It's tough as far as like a prediction of who's going to win, but I will tell you that Kurt has done a great job day racing here, and he loves racing in the daytime here at Richmond. But a guy who, you know, all of his wins here at Richmond have been day races, and that's Jimmy Johnson. He loves the daytime race here, and he has said that he just can't get his car dialed in correctly for a night race, but for a day race, they know exactly what they need to do. So, you know, it's been a lot of years. I would not be surprised if we saw Jimmy have a really good run this time around. But Kurt Busch is kind of he's up on the top of my list too.
Well, that's pretty interesting. And Harvick always runs good there. At least at night, I saw him, and it looked like Juan Pablo had it won, and it was Kevin Harvick that wound up outlasting him.
Yeah.
On a late restart.
I know. So, crazy.
And it's amazing the run that Harvick has had throughout the past couple of years, from winning his first ever Sprint Cup championship and basically finishing in the top two fairly week in and week out through last year. And then, you know, this year is a little more down to earth, but he's another guy that's dialed into Richmond. And, of course, you can't count out the Penske guys, Logano and Keselowski.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
So
we'll just have to wait and see,
fun.
You know?
That's just it. I'm just have to get used to, have to watch it on a Sunday instead of a Saturday night. Because I think the night races, like, there's just usually a different disposition for the drivers. The moon's going to be full pretty close to this weekend. So maybe, yeah. But being it's a day race this year, we won't have to worry about the full moon.
Right, exactly. We'll let somebody else worry about that.
So it should be a fun weekend. Any celebrity singers for the anthems?
Yes, we actually just put out the announcement this morning, not very long ago, that Trent Harmon, who is American Idol winner, he will be singing the national anthem here on Sunday.
Cool. It's always good having these, you know, because these talent shows that you see, and you always wonder what happens to them after they win. But at least it's good they get out there and they get to meet the crowds. Last weekend, one of the girls that competed on The Voice a couple of seasons ago sang at the Xfinity race at Bristol.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's always those opportunities. You never know
tour.
Who might show up.
And she's doing a NASCAR track tour. She's from my old area and was mentored by somebody who used to work at my old radio station, WNJC, with me. So that was kind of cool.
Wow. That is cool. That's really cool. Awesome.
So,
well, we hope that all of your listeners are either – if we hope they already have their tickets, but if they don't – I hope that they're now listening and saying, okay, Amy told me to buy them. I'm going to buy tickets and I'm going to the race because we want you here. We want you to experience this with us. I mean, we're starting a new piece of our history here at RIR, 18 years of day racing and of night racing. And now we're back to day racing. So we want everybody to be part of this new piece of history with us.
Wow. It's been 18 years of night racing.
I know. Can you believe that? Yeah, it's been a lot of night racing. So,
man, I'm old.
Yeah. No, you're not. Don't let anybody tell you that.
No, it's just when you look back on things, it's like, wow, has it really been that long?
Trust me, I totally understand.
Figure I'm going to turn 30. In a couple of years for the second time.
I love how you word that.
Or it could be 20 for the third time. You know, it's always have an interesting twist on it.
Yep. Hey, however you got to say it, whatever gets you through and makes you happy, that's what works, right?
Yeah, it's just you're as young as you feel, and I always act half my age anyway, so maybe that's a benefit. So, I don't worry about the number until somebody brings up something that happened. It's like, Really? Man, it's just a reality check. But I go back to being a young, spunky adult that I consider myself as mentally, so that helps in the long run.
You're only as young as you, or as old, however you want to say it, but as you feel and as you act. So, you know, I mean, your age might be one thing, but if your body says, nope, I feel much younger, then that's all you got to be.
Well, that's true. And being I'm in a little bit better shape than I was a couple of years ago, feel better anyway, so. But anyway, don't forget to go to RIR.com. Get your tickets. Get out there this weekend because Amy said to get them. It's going to be a fun weekend, a day race. There's one thing that I can attribute to Richmond International Raceway that I haven't had anywhere else. And the time I came to cover the race, after running into you, not knowing where I was going, and just happened to catch you coming out of a trailer, was the chocolate-covered bacon. Mm-mm-mm.
Oh my golly! I know, and we haven't had that in a while. I'd like to, you know, maybe try to get that back here again. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it's like, is that what I think it is? And it was like, tried it. Oh, it's everything they said it would be.
Absolutely, totally agree.
I had seen it done on the Food Network, and it's like, man, that sounds good. And sure enough, it was good.
It is good. I totally agree. And, you know, we are bacon lovers here in Richmond, so kind of nice to have that.
Well, that's pretty good. I think everybody, there's bacon lovers everywhere. If they're anti-bacon, they live on the other side of the world. And
that's funny.
They're strange. I'll be politically correct.
That's awesome. Well, like I said, looking forward to an exciting weekend, and you know, just hope to see everybody out here, and thankful that we're looking like we're gonna have good weather.
And that's always a plus, because especially on a Sunday day race. What thing that's good about the Saturday night races, the people that got their tickets could always come back Sunday and catch the race due to inclement weather. So now it's going to be bumped to 11 a.m. on Mondays, which is usually the standard rerun time. And people don't plan ahead. Like when I ever go to a race, I always say, I need Monday, you know, I need to be able to be Monday as well as Friday. This way, in case something happens Sunday, I can always go back on a Monday and catch the race and do that. But some people can't, so.
Absolutely, but hopefully we are not going to have to worry about it.
Nah, not this weekend. All the forecasts I've seen, even back on my side of the state, because everything that you get there, we get here sooner. So it's looking really good.
Awesome. I like hearing that.
Anyway, I better let you go because it's a busy week for you, and it's a pleasure having you on. It's always fun talking to you. Time goes by so quick. You'll have to co-host with me sometime.
That would be awesome. I'd love to do that.
Well, let me know an available Tuesday, and we'll set it up, and you can bring any driver you want on. I'll even let you book the guests.
Wow, that's awesome. We definitely have to connect and talk about it. Once we get through this week, we should have a little bit more time to connect.
Sounds good. Let me know next week after you do all your fun stuff and all your charity stuff and you get some downtime, and I'll give you we'll set up the date. Obviously, it's a Tuesday at noon, and if you want to make it a Wednesday, you let me know. I can. That's what's good about doing the online thing weekly. I can put it any day of the week I want, but Tuesdays is usually my air day, but
sure.
I'll work around it for you.
Awesome. That sounds great. I look forward to it. I appreciate the offer.
Maybe it's a regular thing. Richmond International Raceway presents Garage Talk Live with Vince and Amy.
That would be awesome. Love it. I love how that sounds.
My head's always turning. Being a November baby, early November baby, and you know what that's about. You know how we are.
Yep, I do. I know exactly how we are. That's great.
Two great minds think alike, and we'll let you go. Have fun this weekend. I wish I could be there. I'm trying to set up for the last race before the chase. Maybe I could join my buddy Gil. He'll be out there taking awesome pictures. Tell him if you want pictures that he takes, use them. I'm sure
I will, absolutely. I will let him
you.
Know for sure. I appreciate that.
Is there anything you need from my end, you're welcome to. And again, I'll be in touch within the week. Or actually, I'll leave it for you to decide. Don't forget, let me know when you want to do it, and we'll do it.
I will, definitely. I greatly appreciate it. And again, RIR.com, got to get that in there. But everybody go and get your tickets if you don't already have them.
And get out and see one of the best tracks on the circuit, day or night.
Awesome. That's awesome. I'm going to set you up as a spokesperson for the track now.
Hey, I'll be gladly to carry the mantle for Richmond International Raceway.
I love it. I appreciate it.
All right.
Well,
have a good one,
again,
Amy.
And, yep, you have a great one as well, and hope to see everybody this weekend.
Yep. Enjoy and have a fun race. Okay, bye-bye now.
Thank you. Goodbye.
There you have it, everybody. Amy Wester, Director of Communications for Richmond International Raceway, joining us live. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. Having her on, we just can go and talk and talk and talk. I hope I didn't take up too much of her time. She's always a good sport. Go to RIR.com. You can buy tickets. Go to their website, the Buy Ticket tab. You'll see event extras and all the things like that. You can choose your seats. It's a 3/4 mile tri-oval, the track. So you're not too far away to where the cars are tiny. So you'll be able to see everything that's a good seat. They also have the big screens on the top of the pole. So what you can't see on the other side of the track, you can see on the thing. And that's the good thing about that, replays. You can actually see replays. Stuff that you'd watch on TV that you, once you miss it, the track. See, with technology today, it is so much better to watch an event at the event because you can always catch what you missed. Where, you know, under those cautions when you're sitting at the track, if you don't have to make the run to the bathroom, you can just sit there and catch what happens. And, Richmond is the action track. It's 3/4 miles. Got a good width to it, so there's a lot of side-by-side. So go to the race there and compare notes, Bristol versus Richmond. You know, everybody said Bristol, 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 but I don't know. Richmond's been the racing has gotten better there over the years, and it's always a fun track to go. You can go camping when you get your ticket. So if you don't want to get a hotel room, they have packages. And there's about 10 or 11 of them there. So ticket and scanner, suite view, Papa John's package. I mean, all this fun stuff. And the event extras, the things that go around the track. Sundays, fan vision, all that kind of good stuff. RIR.com. Get your tickets for this weekend. And catch the Toyota Care 250 on Saturday. And the Toyota Owners 400 on Sunday. So check out Richmond International Raceway if you haven't already. It's one of the better tracks. I always like the tracks that are different and where the racing is fun to watch. Anyway, let's get back to what has happened this past weekend. Of course, the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach IndyCar race was held on Sunday as well. Can't forget the old Indy guys. This was one of the better races of the year. And when you get an Indy race where the margin of victory is 0.3 seconds, yeah, that's longer. It's a few car lengths, but it's less than a second, and it isn't somebody that's leading, got the rest of the field a lap down. So it's one of the good Indy races. Yeah, it's a road course. They've kind of veered towards that. I'm sure back in the day when it was the IRL and they used to run just ovals, they'd have the SunTrust Indy at Richmond, and they decided to add more road courses because of the influx of all the kart guys. When it was championship auto racing teams was the league, and then IRL split because they were going to that. Then they went back together because kart guys that used to drive in the Indy 500 couldn't do that unless they went to the IRL and used one of those type of cars. So the teams that went to one series couldn't run the other one. But anyway, they finally merged together, and you have open wheel racing in the big leagues like you do today. And Simone Pagenaud was the winner. Scotty Dixon come home second. I interviewed him years ago. Let me try to get him back on. Elio Castroneves was third. Juan Pablo Montoya came in fourth. Takuma Sato was fifth. Tony Kanaan, sixth place. Seventh, Will Power. James Hinchcliffe in eighth. Ninth, Sebastian Bourdais. And Joseph Newgarden rounds out the top 10. Time of the race was an hour and 33 minutes. Average speed, 100.59 miles an hour. I already told you the margin of victory. There were six lead changes and no caution laps. So that's a rarity in itself right there. Any race without caution laps, especially running a street course, running a road course there where the turns are tight, things are busy, you're always getting something happening, but I guess they, of course, in a Sprint Cup or Xfinity race, they'd be rubbing each other down through the turns if they could. But anyway, there was four drivers that led, Castroneves, Pagenaud, who the eventual winner, Charlie Kimball, who had done the show before, and Scotty Dixon back in the day at my old radio station. So of course, I mentioned at the top of the show that the NHRA will be back in action this weekend out at the ZMAX Raceway, a.k.a. in the Charlotte Motorsports area, Motor Speedway Complex, for the Four Wide Nationals. Man, Four Wide. Top fuel, and or I should say nitro burners, Four Wide, 10,000 horsepower each. When that tree goes green, the thunder that you feel is going to be bone-rattling. I mean, it's bad enough with two, but with Four Wide, that's on the bucket list, folks. Four Wide Nationals. I have to work that race. But anyway, in the top fuel division, Brittany Force, who enjoyed her first win a few weeks ago, is maintaining the points lead. It's good to see that. Could you imagine that? Brittany Force winning a top fuel championship. It'd be the only other division where a John Force Racing driver, other than the funny car, that would take home the championship. And it could be done with both divisions between top fuel and funny car because, it's only Brittany only has a 38-point lead over defending champ Antron Brown, and The top field division is within 100 points from eighth on, from first to eighth. So she's got to maintain and stay up there. And then when the countdown starts to get that top seed with the extra 20-point bonus on that, so you could battle it out. And the funny car drivers, teammate Robert Height and Daddy John Force lead the points there. They're right there, too. So if they can maintain that and win the championship in both divisions, that'd be cool for them. Robert Height with the points lead. And, again, down to sixth place with Courtney Force, Brittany's sister, is within 100 points of the spot. So it's a tight battle going there. And Ron Capps, he's running in third spot there. So it's pretty interesting. These divisions are tight right now. So the only place where it spreads out a bit is when we get down to the pro stock division. Jason Lyon has a 48-point lead over Greg Anderson. They're the only two under 100 points apart. Third place is Bo Butner. He is out of the top spot by 132 points. And then there's our pal, Eric Ender Stevens, who was in 10th, being she made a few rounds this time, climbed to 9th. Watch for her to climb the ladder a little better, because you can't go through what they went through. Changing manufacturers, not only going to fuel injection, but changing manufacturers. Her teammate, Drew Skillman, who's still driving the Chevy, is up in the 4th spot. And her other teammate who drives a Dodge, Jed Coughlin, who they signed as a teammate this year, he's in 7th. So all three Elite Motorsports drivers in the top 10. They have a little bit of growing pains with a different manufacturer. And as far as figuring out the fuel injection. But everybody's on the same page as far as going from carburetors, the big scoop, down to the fuel injection, and some people have figured it out early, and sometimes that's all it takes. But some people have to take a little different, especially, and then you're going from, say, going from a fuel-injected Chevy to a fuel-injected Dodge. You know your Chevy's power. You've had it figured out for years. You won 2 championships with it. I mean, you can't deny Erica's talent. Off the light, she still has the reaction time of the. It's just a matter of being able to get up the track there, and if the car has to figure out the power and the traction. So, in the pro stock motorcycle division, Eddie Krawick leads Hector Arana and Andrew Hines, who is Krawick's teammate with Harley. And then the rest of the division, believe it or not, of the top 10, they're all within 100 points. And if you go all the way down to the top 13, they're all within 100 points. So the pro stock bike is a tight race as well. But anyway, so look for fun and excitement down at Charlotte. If you can't get to Richmond and you want to see some exciting races, exciting racing for straight liners, get down to Z-Max Dragway and catch the 4 Wide Nationals. Like I said, that's one on my bucket list. I know it'll be this weekend. They have it every year. It's the only time they do this. It's the only track designed for it, actually, is to run 4 Wide. So, good on that. Now, of course, this weekend, in the Xfinity Series, in a close race there, Bristol Motor Speedway, the annual Fitzgerald Glider Kits 300. Anybody catch the anthem singer? It was our guest last week, Audra McLaughlin, making her NASCAR track tour debut. Fine job, a cappella. A little tough to do to begin with. I think she did better than the girl who sang the Gave them on Sunday, Claire Dunn. Nothing against Claire. She had to go a cappella as well. So it was a head-to-head, not that it's a competition, but I think Audra did a better job. But Eric Jones in the 20 car takes the win from his teammate, Kyle Busch, breaking Kyle Busch's string of wins at four. You know, winning five and then six in a row at, in any division is tough to beat. But Kyle of having a tough time. Didn't have a tough time. He actually led, was one of the three leaders of the event. The margin of victory was 0.418 seconds, so it was fairly, you know, within four car lengths. Eric Jones just was able to get him and Kyle Busch did well. I ended up in the second place. And third spot, Kyle Larson, who led four times and led for 94 laps the most of the day. And he came in third. It's usually sometimes wherever you see Kyle Busch, sometimes Kyle Larson's running, they're always together, with Busch usually getting the better of it. But like I said, that broke his string. And Austin Dillon came in fourth. Fifth was Justin Allgaier. Daniel Suarez was sixth, Ty Dillon seventh. Eighth was Kevin Harvick, ninth Joey Logano, Eric Amarola rounds out the top ten. There were three cautions for 23 laps. That's pretty low at Bristol. 10 lead changes amongst four drivers. A little bit of action that way. And as far as the points goes, there is the chase this year in the Xfinity Series as well as the Truck Series. So the Win In Your In program works, provided you're a Xfinity Series driver competing for the championship. And the only one actually in there to do that is Eric Jones right now, because the Cup guys have been taking all the wins. But Daniel Suarez leads the points, Eric Jones second, Justin Allgaier third, Elliott Sadler fourth, fifth Brandon Jones, sixth Ty Dillon, seventh Brendan Gaughan, Brennan Poole is eighth, Ryan Reed ninth, tenth Darrell Wallace Jr. On Sunday. It was another Gibbs car winning the race, and it wasn't Kyle Busch, so that's two races in a row he did not fare that well in. He actually hit the wall a couple times, and actually three times, and the third time was the charm put him out of the race. He only got past halfway by eight laps, doesn't have a lead, and finished a dismal 38th, but he's got two wins. He's in the upper seating of the chase. Don't count out Kyle. He made some comments that he is not a fan of Bristol since they repaved it. He used to win there, but since they reground everything, he's been on a dry spell at Bristol. So he was visibly not happy. We'll leave it at that. So, but Concrete Carl Edwards, Cousin Carl, as he's also affectionately known as, started from the pole. It was pretty much his day. He did have to battle a couple of restarts at the end to take the win, but he did so in dominating fashion. He started on the pole, led eight times for 276 laps out of the 500 run. The only other leader that led triple digits was teammate Not Kurt, not Kyle Busch, so he didn't lead, but Matt Kenseth in the 20 car, who started second, led three times for 142 laps. So Edwards was the big winner. Dale Jr. Finishing second. His day started crappy. At the drop of the green flag, his car lost power. Wound up losing two laps till they got it running again, and then battled his way all the way back to second. So Dale Jr. Coming back in, catching up. He was hoping to catch Carl Edwards, but on a couple of the restarts, he didn't have the car to get past him. Carl chose the outside line, the preferable line to get the jump on the restart. If you were stuck on the inside, you were limited to what you can do. Case in point, the fourth-place finisher. Of course, Kurt Busch took home third. Fourth-place finisher, Chase Elliott. Another top 10 again, showing that he's the real deal. I predict he will get a win by the end of the season. I can't gauge what track yet. We'll see what happens when they come back around there. But Chase Elliott coming home fourth, was second a couple of times. On restart, had gotten stuck on the inside lane and then wound up getting passed by Dale Jr. and Kurt Busch. But, again, another good run for Chase Elliott. He's only a rookie. He is in the 24. Usually if somebody has to step in somebody's shoes the first season, and they've never been a cup driver, you know, there's a lot of pressure put on them, and he's living up to handling the pressure. Trevor Bayne, a good run for him, finishing fifth, his first top five finish since winning the Daytona 500 a few years ago. In sixth, the story of the weekend, driver of the number 83, Matt DiBenedetto. There's a guy for BK Motorsports. He's probably going to be in demand. Everybody's going to want to talk to him. Dodged a lot of bullets and was able to bring it home sixth. Things worked out well for him. It's great to see somebody you don't see in the top, we'll say your regular chase guys in there who always seem to dominate every weekend. Somebody who usually finishes in the lower half to come back and actually get a top 10 finish, especially at a track tough track like Bristol. Great job for him. Maybe we'll try to see if we can figure out a way to get him on the show here. Seventh, Kevin Harvick, who I predicted to win. He only led once for 13 laps, didn't have a car the rest of the day, but can I say he started seventh, finished seventh, so he broke even at this point. Eighth was Clint Bowyer. Ninth, Ryan Newman, and Joey Logano rounds up the top 10, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. One who was in the top 10 for a while and then wound up four laps down. Danica Patrick. So wonder what happened there. But anyway, there were 15 cautions for 102 laps. That's about right for Bristol. 16 lead changes among seven drivers. So different people up front other than Edwards. Logano led. Landon Castle led a few laps as well. Somebody you don't see up front anywhere, and they get in the right position, they could do that. Paul Menard led a few laps. Of course, Edwards, Harvick, Kenseth, and Logano were the big three. Logano were the big four. So it's good to see some other leaders. As far as the chase goes, the top 16, Harvick. Edwards now makes the chase with the win. He's locked in. He's second in points to Harvick. Both Harvick and he have a win each. Jimmy Johnson is in third points-wise, but due to number of wins, would be an upper seed. Kyle Busch is fourth. And actually, Joey Logano is fourth in points. No wins yet, but can't count out the slice bread there. Kyle Busch with two wins is fifth. That 38th place finish didn't help. He would have been higher had he finished higher because he's only 4 points behind Logano, but he would be an upper seed right now because he has the two wins. Dale Jr. 6th, Kurt Busch, who had a good day, 7th. 8th, Brad Kay. 9th, Denny Hamlin. 10th, Martin Truex Jr. 11th through 16th are Austin Dillon, Chase Elliott, Jamie Mack, A.J. Allmendinger, Casey Kane, and Ryan Newman. Casey Kane, he's in there, but he hasn't had that thing. So anyway, hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll get to the picks real quick. We're going to get to some audio, but I know Amy picked, said Kurt runs pretty good in the daytime, and Jimmy Johnson runs good in the daytime. So she was kind of leery. I see Johnson there, and for April race, top 10 for the Chase race. So I don't know who to go with this week. So being that it's going to be running a day race, things are a little different. I went with Harvick last week, so I guess I'll go with Jimmy Johnson. I'll side with Amy on this one and pick Jimmy Johnson to win that. We'll see what happens. Anyway, that's our show for today. I'd like to thank you all for joining me. Special thanks to Amy Wester, Director of Communications for Richmond International Raceway. Tune in next week. We'll be back to get ready for the next race of the season, which will be Talladega Cha-Cha-Cha, which will be 1st of May, which is the weekend after Richmond, because April's got 30 days. So they go from a small track to the big one. So I'm Vince Bonfigli. Hope you've all enjoyed the show. See you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.